أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، وصلي اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الكرام. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سيدي أحمد زروق رضي الله تعالى عنه says after his tanbih that the heart is the foundation of every good and evil, and its life and its death are the keys to either benefit or harm. So that which has no life in its heart has no way of protecting itself from evil and facilitating for itself good. And every heart that life enters into, by necessity, it will call it to enthusiastic responses when reminders occur. And then he says, وَالْقُلُوبُ ثَلَاثَةٌ. There are three types of hearts. أَوَّلُهَا قَلْبٌ فِي حَيَاتِهِ صَحِيحٌ. A heart whose life is sound. وَفِي خِطَابِهِ فَصِيحٌ. And its expression is clear, eloquent. فَصَاحِبُهُ يَنْتَقُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Its companion, when he speaks, speaks with wisdom. وَيَنْهَضُ فِي كُلِّ مُلِمَّةِ. And he arises to every necessary occasion. When difficulties emerge, he responds appropriately. So this is the first heart. It's a sound heart. It's called قَلْبٌ سَلِيمٌ. حَيَاتُهُ صَحِيحٌ. It's صحيح in its life. In its expression, it's pure and sound. Because the tongue is قلب المرء تحت لسانه. Like Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said, a man's heart lies hidden under his tongue. And so the tongue is ترجمان القلب. It's the translator of the heart. من أحب شيئا أكثر من ذكره. Somebody loves something, you'll hear him mentioning it a lot. If somebody has wealth, money in his heart, you'll hear him talk about money all the time. If he has lust in his heart, you'll hear him talk about those type matters all the time. If he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love of Allah in his heart, that's what he's going to talk about. If he has the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's what he's going to talk about. If his heart is filled with anger and rage, then he's going to express it on his tongue. That's what he's telling us. So a person whose heart is sound, you'll see that their expression is sound as well. And they respond appropriately, because a heart that's alive, when it sees people in tribulation, it responds with commiseration and desire to help them. Then he says, الثاني, the second is قَلْبٌ لَا حَيَاتَ فِيهِ. A heart in which there is no life. فَهُوَ لَا يَقْبَلُ التَّذْكِيرَ وَلَا التَّنْبِيهِ. It neither accepts admonition or a reminder, nor does it accept anybody calling it to attention. فَضَلًا عَنِ اتِّبَاعِهِ الْحَقَّ. And far from it to follow the truth. If it's not doing this, it certainly won't be following the truth. أو تأدبه مع الخلق. Or that it should have any courtesy, consideration for Allah's creation. So that's the second heart, it's a dead heart. So the first heart is a heart whose life is sound. The second is a heart who has no life. الثالث قلب اعترته في حياته أمراض. It is afflicted with sicknesses. وصاحبته في أحواله اعتراضات وأعراض. And in its various conditions and circumstances, it's accompanied by objections and symptoms. فعرض الأعراض مما عرض. So the symptoms that follow. In other words, the sicknesses show up. وهو الذي يتألم عن ذكر ما له من مرض. And this type of heart is a heart that actually experiences pain when it hears about its sicknesses. So what he's saying here is that if you hear somebody talking about the diseases of the heart and you start recognizing yourself, you actually feel pain. If somebody's talking about ujub, about being vain, about kibr, arrogance, about riya, showing off in your acts of devotion, about hasad, envy, istihza, contemptuous disdain for others, mockery of others, derision, backbiting. Backbiting is a symptom of a diseased heart. So somebody's telling you about, you hear a hadith or somebody talked about that you actually feel pain because you recognize your own sickness, which is a sign of life. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُقْصَدُ بِالْمُدَاوَاتِ وَيُرْصَدُ بِالْمُعَانَاتِ. And this is a heart that when we speak about treating, this is the heart that we're talking about. And also when we speak about the process of getting better, the struggle with the actual cure, then this is what's meant. رَجَاءَ اسْتِقَامَةِ حَيَاتِهِ. Hoping that it will come back to life, you know, its life will be renewed and it will become well. أَوْ تَوْقِيفَ الْعِلَّةِ. Or at least the disease will cease. حَتَّى لَا تُؤَدِّيَ لِمَمَاتِهِ. So that it doesn't lead to its death. Because if the heart remains untreated, it's going to get worse until it dies. So what he's saying is, either we'll rectify the heart, or at least we'll stop the disease from getting worse. وَلَوْ فِي ذَلِكَ وُجُوهٌ تَرَاهَا. And there are three aspects to this. يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهَا نَفْيُ مَا فِيهِ وَإِثْبَاتُهُ. Resulting from this is either negating or affirming these things. أَوَّلُهَا. The first, أَنْ يَكُونَ الْحَيَاةُ غَالِبَةً عَلَيْهِ. That there's more life in the heart. In other words, there's three types of sick hearts. There's a sick heart who has more life than illness. The health is actually better than the illness. وَالْمَرَضُ تَابِعٌ. So the disease is secondary. The primary state is the soundness, and the disease is secondary. Like somebody has asthma. Asthma is not the same as having cancer. A person who has asthma is healthier than they are sick, because they can function. It's not stopping their life most of the time. I mean, occasionally they might have some difficulty, but generally somebody with moderate asthma can get through the day, get through the week, get through the month. They might have some difficulties. Whereas a person who's dying of cancer, they're still alive, but they're in terminal illness. So that's what he's saying. That the first type is one where the sickness is not that extensive. وَهَذَا أَسْهَلُ الْأَمْرِ قَرِيبَ الْمَوَاقِعِ. And this is much easier to treat. الثاني المرض غالب والحياة ضعيفة. The second type is the one whose sickness is preponderant and its life is very weak, diminished. وهذا من العوارض المخيفة. مرض المخيف is something that is terminal. And that's what he's saying. This is something that should really give serious concern, because we're looking at something very dangerous. And then الثالث أن يتكافأ السقم والصحة بوجه يمكن تقوية أحدهما معه. The third type is where the sickness and the health are about the same, but it's possible to strengthen one of them over the other. وَهُوَ كَالَّذِي قَبْلَهُ. But it's like the second one. In other words, it's in a very dangerous situation, because it can easily go the other way. The first one is not that bad, because it's more like a chronic, manageable illness. You know, you have chronic illnesses that are manageable, like people have eczema, or they have asthma, or they have hay fever, things like that. People can live with those and they'll actually be all right. So that's what he's saying. That's the first one. The second one is terminal. The third one is a chronic illness that's seriously interfering with a person's life. It might not be terminal yet. For instance, somebody who has very weak kidneys, they can easily go into kidney failure if they're not careful. If they go to a place, they don't drink enough fluids, or they go to a really dry place, they can go into kidney failure and find themselves looking at death. So that's what he's saying. The third type, even though the health and the sickness are about the same, it's like the second in that it's very dangerous. And then he says, ثُمَّ وُجُودَ الْعِلَّةِ مَعَ ثَبَاتِهَا يَظْهَرُ بِأَحَدِ ثَلَاثَةِ أُمُورِ. The sickness, the illah, and its diagnosis. In order to establish the diagnosis, it manifests in one of three ways. وَيُتَعَرَّفْ بِهَا الْخَفَاءُ وَالظُّهُورِ. So we'll know whether it's hidden or manifest. أولها العرض البادي ووزانه من غرضنا أفعال الجوارح. The first way is a symptom that manifests. In other words, it's a symptom that is clear. One can see it. ووزانه من غرضنا أفعال الجوارح. And in order to measure it, to do some diagnostic test, our object in discovering it is the actions of one's limbs. So in other words, when somebody's backbiting, there's a symptom right there. You're seeing it. It's a symptom of a diseased heart. And it's clear. If you're a doctor, or not even a doctor, you've just studied one disease of the heart, and you happen to know that a symptom is riba, and then somebody's making riba in front of you, he's revealing a symptom to you, whether he recognizes it or not. He's letting you know, I have a diseased heart. And the symptom of it is that I'm talking about people who I shouldn't be talking about. Or they're stealing. Where did that come from? Tama. Ibn Atayla says in the Hikam that humiliation, that the trunks of humiliation grow from covetousness because you desire things. And everybody who's ever humiliated themselves did so out of desire. So if somebody steals something, it was because he coveted it. So the impulse to steal came from a disease in the heart. So it's a symptom. Fornication is a symptom. And then he says, الثاني السبب الأصلي ووزانه حركات القلوب. The second is the etiology. And its diagnostic measurement is the movements of hearts. It's a little more subtle, and this takes somebody with more expertise. What he's saying here is the second way that one diagnoses the disease of the heart is to know the etiologies of these diseases. And the etiology is the original cause. So for instance, Iblis, la'anahu Allah, when he said about Adam, he was commanded to make sajda of tashrif, honoring Adam, not worship, but honoring. He refused. And the reason he refused, according to him, was because Adam was unworthy of his sajda. And the reason for that is because he was higher than Adam. He said, I'm air and fire. He's created from earth and water. Air and fire are both elements that they're light. They rise by nature. Earth and water are low elements. They descend by nature. So his analogical reasoning led him to assume that elements, they're light. They rise like the noble gases, like helium, that those are higher than heavier elements. That's what he's saying. But what is the real? What's moving in the heart? What was really going on? Hasad. That's the movement of the heart. The etiology was envy. Some say envy precedes kibr, and others say kibr precedes envy. It's a khilaf between ulama al-qulub. The doctors of the diseases of the heart differ about which one came first, envy or kibr. It really doesn't matter. They're both disasters. So that's what he means there. You're looking at the etiology of the actions. Because one of the things, Melville, he's an American writer. He wrote a book called Billy Budd. I don't know if anybody read that. The whole book, it's really about envy. He has a character in there called Claggart. And he's the master of arms. And he hates this young man who is impressed. He's forced onto this ship. There's during time of war, 1798, I think, or something. They're fighting the French. And he's a sweet man. Everybody loves him. But there's this one character on the ship who just hates him. And he's never done anything wrong to him. He just hates him. But one of the things Melville said in there was really interesting. He said, people will admit to felonious crimes before they will admit to envy. And that's worth the book, that hikmah. Because that is a hikmah. People will admit to felonious crimes before they will admit to envy. Nobody admits that they envy somebody else. And yet envy is at the root of most of humanity's problems. The third one is al-mawad al-muwassida, are those matters that move somebody to do something. وَوِزَانُهَا مَا تَنَحُوا إِلَيْهِ النَّفْسِ وَتَجْنَحُ لَهُ بِالْاخْتِيَارِ. The diagnostic measure for that, what it inclines to by choice. If a person has the choice to go and gamble, or go do something useful, it goes and gambles. So looking at the inclinations of the self, whether you'd rather go to the cinema than to the masjid, whether you'd rather go and backbite with a group of people than go with another group and study something useful, it's looking at what the inclinations of the self are. وَذَٰلِكَ مَجْمُوعٌ فِي كَلَامِ الشَّيْخِ الْإِمَامِ الْعَالِمِ الرَّبَّانِ سِيدِي أَبُ الْحَسَنِ الشَّاذِلِي رَضِي اللَّهُ عَنْهُ حَيْثُ قَالَ. And all of that is comprised in the words of the Shaykh, the Imam, the scholar, the Rabbani, the scholar of high character, Sidi Abu al-Hasan al-Shadhiri. Obviously he's in that line, and Abu al-Hasan al-Shadhiri was known for this science. He said, radiallahu anhu, عَمَرْ بَصِيرَتِي فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءَ, that blinding the inner sight occurs from three things. You have basar and you have basira. Basar is the outward sight. In the Arabic language, you say basar, and that's the outward sight. Basira is the inward sight. قُلْ هَذِهِ السَّدِيلِ تَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَ. Say, this is my way, I call to it, عَلَى بَصِيرَ, with basira, with proof, with inner sight. So the basira is to the heart what the basar is to the outward body. It's the inward sight. And it, just like the outward sight can get blinded, the inward sight can get blinded. The outward sight can get cataracts where you can't see, and it can be removed. So it can actually be treated. But then there's other things that can get a blindness that there's no treatment for. There's a lot of metaphors in physical blindness in relation to spiritual blindness. So he says that أَمَرْ بَصِيرَتِي فِي ثَلَاثِ أَشْيَاءِ إِرْسَالَ الْجَوَارِحِي فِي مَعَاصِي اللَّهِ, that you should allow or enable your limbs to enter into a state of disobedience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. التَصَنَّعُ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, to pretend or to be artificial in displays of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. التَصَنَّعُ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, so they're only pretending to be in a state of obedience. When they get the chance to be disobedient, they are. So this is nifaq. There's an important thing to stop on this. The best way I've ever heard it said is what a French moralist said. Hypocrisy is the homage that vice pays to virtue. And that's a really deep hikmah. And this is why the Muslims actually prefer hypocrisy to a state of outward dissolution. In other words, when the soul has no shame, even before Allah's creation, that it goes out and it does disobedience without any shame, that's a worse state than a soul that pretends to be obedient when people are around, and then when there's no people, it's disobedient. That's actually a better state, because what it's saying is, even though it's not a good state, when none of us, we don't want to be in that state, but that is a better state than somebody who has no shame. And there's people that will say that, well, I don't want to be a munafiq. He'll drink openly, right? And he'll say, I don't want to be like one of those hypocrites. That's actually worse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that man is more odious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a man who will not drink in front of other people, but then goes home and drinks. That man has more potential than the one who is shameless. And that's absolutely true. So even though it's a blameworthy and it's a wretched state to be in, it's still better than people who have lost all sense of shame. And it causes the basira to be blinded. So it's not a good state. But it's important to note that in a virtuous society, even the scoundrels will pretend to be virtuous. But when the society becomes a profligate society, then people lose their sense of shame before others. And that's actually a worse sign. And then he said, the third one is, وَالطَّمَعُ فِي خَلْقِ اللَّهِ, having any desire for what the creation of Allah has. الطَّمَعُ is يَطْمَعُ, it's to desire, it's to be covetous, it's to yearn for what others have. طَمَعُ, they call it. One of the people of Ilm al-Huruf said that all of the huruf of tama' are mujawwaf. They all have opens. Ta, Mim, Ayn. They're all mujawwaf. They have a hollow center. Because that's the nature of tama'. It's insatiable. You just want more and more. So those three cause the blinding of the inner sight. فَمِنِ اِدَّعَ الْبَصِيرَةَ مَعْ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْ هَذِهِ. So anyone who claims to have inner sight, and they have one of these three, فَهُوَ عَبْدٌ مُفْتَرٍ كَذَّابٌ أَوْ ذُو خَطَئٍ فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمْرِ بِالصَّوَابِ. Whoever claims he's one of two things. He's either a liar, or his knowledge is lacking. He doesn't have a correct understanding. It's one of the two. He's either fooling people or he's fooling himself. وَهُوَ عَيْنُ الْحَقِيقَةِ وَفَصَلُ الْخِطَابِ. And this is the essence of reality. And this is the definitive statement about this matter. So he's telling you, take this advice, because this is absolutely sound advice. And then he says, دُخُولُ الْعِلَّةِ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ السَّادِجِ سَهْلُ التَّعَالُجِ بخلاف الذي سقم بعد صحته ورجع بعد عودته لكمون الغرة فيه وأنسه بما يقتضيه ولذلك إذا صح تمكنت الحقيقة منه وانتفت الغرة عنه إذا صار على ضرر من النكس ومستشعرا وجود النقص في العكس لكن ثباته أغرب وإن كان رجوعه أيسر وأقرب إذ داعية الشر والخير من الأسباب الواصلة كالقوة الدافعة والأخلاط الفاعلة. It's very high Arabic. It's called Jinas. It's Sajja. It's very beautiful. When sickness enters into a naive heart, a heart of somebody that's really not diseased, when it comes in, it's easy to treat. In other words, a heart that's been healthy, this heart, once it begins to get sick, it's much easier to treat than a heart that became sick after being, it had been sick and then it became healthy and then it has a relapse. And this is the danger of making tawbah and falling back into wrong actions. Because the more you do that, the worse it gets. كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The rain on the heart comes. The heart gets covered. It gets encrusted because of what they were earning. So the more wrong actions, the more the heart gets encrusted. What he's saying there is that a heart that was innocent and pure, and then it begins to get sick, it's easy to treat. Whereas a heart that was sick after it had been well, and then it falls back in, it has a relapse, because of this hidden ghirra in it, because of that, there's a sickness in it. وَلِيُنْسِهِ بِمَا يَقْتَضِيهِ. And because he has become intimate, he's actually come to enjoy the disobedience, which is why he goes back to it. He feels comfortable with it. وَلِذَلِكَ. So for that reason, when it becomes well, then the reality becomes strong in it, and it will remove that sickness. But if it becomes sick after that from a relapse, because of that deficiency that's experiencing in the heart, then the opposite is true. The reality won't be strong in it. So it's rare for this type of heart to really become firm, even though it's still easy to go back if those things that are calling to good and evil are those means, in other words, if there's strong impetus in the heart, if there's a strong desire to get well, and the constitution supports that, and when the person does things, it starts feeling the pain, and because of that, the heart moves to change, then what he's saying is that those are good signs, and so one should not despair. That's the point. He's making sure that you don't fall into despair. Oh, it's a disaster. I'm never going to get well. He's saying, don't do that, because that's another trick of the self. فَلَا تَأْمَنْ نَفْسَكْ بِحَالٍ. You know, never feel safe with yourself. in any situation. وَلَا تَغْفُلْ عَنْ حِفْظِ مَا حَصَلَ لَكَ مِنَ الْكَمَالِ. And don't become heedless about protecting what you have of goodness, of perfection, once you have it. In other words, don't think just because, oh, alhamdulillah, I've been doing my wird every day, I've been consistent. Don't feel comfortable in that. Be vigilant about it, because shaitan is going to come and try to get you out of it. Your nafs, hawa, shaitan, and dunya are constant enemies that are always vigilant. So you have to be as vigilant, or have greater vigilance. وَجِدَّدِ الْإِنَابَةَ وَالْتَوْبَةَ لِتَحْفَظَ بِهَا صِحَّةَ الرُّجُوعِ وَالْأَوْبَةَ. And always renew your returning to Allah and your tawbah, in order to protect the soundness of this return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the well-being that you're experiencing from being in a state of returning to Allah. وَعَالِجْ وَعَالِجْ أَمْرَاضَكْ بِمَا تَرَاهُ يُبْرِيهَا. And treat your diseases with those things that you see have a beneficial effect, that are curative for them. وَذَلِكَ بِأَنْ تَجْرِبَ لِنَفْسِكَ مَا يَزِينُهَا وَتَصْرِفُ مَا يُرْضِيهَا وَبِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى التَّوْفِيقِ. And do that with those things that will incur for the self what ornaments the self, what benefits the self, and what removes from the self the destructive tendencies. So what he's saying there is that be concerned with those things that bring benefit to you and will bring zina to your heart. So for instance, by going to the prayer in jama'ah, there's a hadith that says that that's a sign of iman. And one of the things about habitual practice is it becomes, the more you do it, the more it's your nature inclines towards it. People that don't exercise, when they start exercising, always have a difficult time. But people who are consistent with their exercise, they have a difficult time when they don't exercise. If somebody runs like 5 times a day, and there's people that do that, if they don't do their run, they don't feel well. If somebody takes a shower every day, if they miss their shower, they feel dirty. Whereas somebody who doesn't take shower, he takes a shower once a week, he doesn't have that feeling. So what's the difference? The difference is just in the constant practice. So if you leave your practice, you'll feel. So that's what he's saying. Guard those things that will put your soul into a good state, and avoid those things that will take your soul to destruction. And this tawfiq is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وعلاج القلب المثير لهواه. The treatment of a heart that has preference for its caprice, for its desires, its hawa. المعرضي عن مولاه. القلب المعرض عن مولاه. That heart that is turning away from its Lord. إذا كانت فيه حياة بأن يحس بالسيئات والحسنات. إما بالتذكير أو عند وجود النكير وذلك بثلاثة أسباب هي مفاتيح القلق والأبواب. So he says that if your heart has life in it, and what he means by that is you actually feel when you do wrongs, you experience it. Because there are some people, أعوذ بالله, they do wrong things, they don't even feel it anymore. Because the heart's dead. It's like somebody who, you know, in martial arts, if you go to Thailand, they have these guys they call Muay Thai, they're Thai boxers. They kick trees from the time they're little kids. They kick trees with their legs until they get calluses and scar tissue all throughout their legs. At that point, they don't feel it anymore because they've killed all the nerves. The nerves that feel the pain, they've literally killed them. There's another thing they do with the hot sand. Right? They'll use their fists and they punch hot sand and put their fingers in until they kill all the nerves. So they don't feel it anymore. So he can go out and he can do all this punching and fighting and not feel any pain. Because he's dead. The actual nerves that feel those things are dead. People who do ma'asi, that's what happens to the heart. If they continue to do it, the heart will die. And it'll no longer feel it. They won't feel anything's wrong.
Whereas somebody whose heart still has life in it, when they do those things, they actually feel remorse. It's a good sign. There's life in the heart. So that's what he's saying, that in order to treat that heart that still is inclining towards wrong actions and it's turning away from its Lord, but if it still has life in it, in other words, it experiences when it does good and evil. Because if you do hasanat, you should feel inbisat. You should feel a good feeling. Right? In other words, if you do hasanat, if you give sadaqah, if you fast, if you're praying consistently on time, you should feel good about that. There's an inbisat. And then if you don't, if you miss a prayer, if you something happens, you should feel inqibad. You should feel remorse. That's a sign of life in the heart. Or you hear tadkir. You go and hear a khutbah and you subhanallah, astaghfirullah. You know, you're feeling it when he's talking about what we're doing wrong. You can feel that. Or somebody tells you, ya akhi, taqillah. You're backbiting. And somebody says, ya akhi, hadha haram alik. You know, don't backbite. That person, when he says that, you don't say, who does he think he is? You say, astaghfirullah. You know, thank you. You feel good that they said that. That they reminded you. So there's three ways. And these ways are the keys to closing the doors of disobedience. Because you need a key to open a door and to close a door. To lock it. أولها حمية البدن بالتقلل من الطعام على وجه لا يخل بالفكرة ولا المنام. So the first is that you have حمية. A حمية is a regime. In other words, you have a diet for your body. Because the body is the vehicle of the soul. And if you're eating a lot, it strengthens the nafs. And so he's saying that you should eat to the point that it's not affecting neither your intellect nor your well-being, your physical well-being, which would be indicated in your sleep. So either you'll be too tired, you'll feel tired all the time because you're not having enough caloric intake, or you can't sleep out of hunger. Because people, if they don't eat, they'll get lightheaded, they get headaches, they can't think, they get brain fag. That means you're eating too little. Or you're sleeping too much because you don't have any energy. That means you're eating too little. So what he's saying is you find a balance. What you need to sustain your well-being, and then you don't go beyond that. You discipline your soul with food. Because food is a very difficult discipline. That's why the Kasra Shahwatain is a book in Imam al-Ghazali's Ihya. The two shahwa, how to break them. Because those are what? So that's the first. The second, and this is very beautiful. الثاني استنشاق استنشاق روائح الصدق بمخالطة أهله. Inhaling the fragrances of sincerity by keeping the company of the people of sincerity. So what he's saying is, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah and be with the people of sidq. Because if you're in their presence, you're breathing in the fragrances of their truthfulness. In other words, there's a spiritual fragrance to purity. Like a baby. There's people, mothers do that. You know, you pick up a newborn baby and you smell it. Because it's pure. And the same is true of the company of the pure people. That there's a fragrance in their company that you inhale. And that inhaling affects your soul. It affects your soul. So that's what he's saying. Istinshaqu rawaih as-sidq. You're inhaling the fragrances of truthfulness. وَإِنْ عَذِقَتْ فِي الْغَرْبِ أَنْفَاسُ ذِكْرِهِ وَفِي الشَّرْقِ عَلِيلٌ تَعَافَ مِنَ الضُّرِّ. If the fragrances of his remembrance diffuse in the west, and there's a sick man in the east, he'll become well. One of the poets said. In other words, there's a reality to actions. If you're in the company of the awliya, there's an effect by just sitting in their company, by sitting next to them. But there's an effect. It has an effect on the heart. And the same is true. You see, an analogy from physics. There's something in physics they call entrainment. The first person to discover it was the person who invented grandfather clocks. He had a whole room full of these clocks. And he set them all one day, and he came back a few hours later, and they were all moving in harmony. And he set them at different times. He couldn't understand the phenomenon. What is that? What happened? And it was actually later, he never worked it out, but it was a physicist later, and this phenomenon is called entrainment. He realized that the biggest one, the biggest grandfather clock, the biggest pendulum in the clock, pulled the other ones into its force. So it's the others synchronized with that pendulum because of the strength of its movement. They entrained with it. Now, one of the things that happens with human beings when they get into a room together, their hearts entrain. This is a known phenomenon. They've done it with electrocardiogram. They've hooked people up and put them in a room. Women who will live in the same house will start having the periods at the same time. People, when they walk together, their feet entrain naturally. It's very difficult for you to walk opposite the person you're walking with. So this phenomenon of entrainment is happening everywhere. It's constantly going on. Breathing, people's breathing entrains. Now what happens is, you entrain with the most powerful heart. And there are two hearts that are powerful. The hearts of the awliya and the hearts of the shayateen. White hearts and black hearts, metaphorically speaking. There's no racial connotation. I mean, Allah says, you know, اسودت وجوه, hearts, faces were black, faces were white. That has to do with spiritual blackness and spiritual lightness. It has nothing to do with the outward appearance, the physical appearance. There's black people have nur in their face, and there's a lot of white people have darkness in their face. But they're metaphors. That's all they are. They're metaphors. So black hearts, hearts that have a lot of evil in them, they become powerful by the shayateen. And they pull other people in to their force. And this happened at Columbine. People know about that in America. There was these two boys. They used to play a game called Doom, which is all about blowing people's heads off. The more people you blow their heads off, the more points you get. And it's very real, blood splatters all over the place. And they were computer hackers. They're like 17 years old. They rewired the game to their town. So they actually changed the game and made it their town. And the people in the town became the characters that they were killing. And they listened to heavy metal music all the time, and very sick people. Now, one of them, they described him as somebody that didn't have much of a personality, and the other one had a very strong personality, and they said that that one was completely under the influence of the other. And this happens. There are evil people that can literally take a whole group with them. I mean, Hitler's a good example of that. Hitler was, whoever he was, the man was very forceful. And there's no doubt about that. You're a fool if you don't think he was. That man hypnotized a nation. I read an article written by somebody who witnessed a speech that he gave. And the person said that he went to the speech believing that he was a madman, and he came out ready to die for him. But it's evil. So there's a power in that. And the awliya have power. And the awliya's power is much greater, obviously. But if you look at Abu Jahl, Abu Jahl was Fir'aun Harid Ummah. Don't think he wasn't a powerful person. He was a very powerful person. He was very convincing. I mean, when Al-Walid ibn Mughira almost became Muslim, and Abu Jahl said, don't worry, I'll take care of him. And he went and pulled him back in to his force. So you have what are called A'immat al-Kufri, the heads of Kufr. They're in the Quran, they're called A'immat al-Kufri. And these are the Aqtab of Kufr. Shaitan has awliya. There's awliya al-Rahman and awliya al-Shaytan. And so their hearts are powerful. They're dark, they're black, and they're dead, but they can pull people in to their force. And then the awliya are like that. They can pull that. And people get pulled between these two forces. And so a sick heart wavers. And that's why the most important thing for a sick heart is good company. Because if you're in bad company, you entrain with that company. The Muritains have a proverb, إِنَّ الْحُوَارَ وَالْحِمَارَ إِنْ سِيقَ عَلَمُهُ شَهِيقَ وَالنَّهِيقَ. The baby donkey and the baby camel, if they come together, the baby camel learns how to bray. And the point is that, and this is what Sheikh Abdullah al-Haddad, Imam al-Haddad, one of the Mujaddideen of the 13th century, he said in his book, The Lies of Man, أَفْسَدُ شَيْءٍ عَلَى الْأَوْلَادِ أَوْلَادِ. The most corrupting influence on children is other children. And this is called the bad apple syndrome. You have a basket of good apples, you put a bad apple in it, it causes all the other apples to go bad. And that's why if you're teaching children, you have one bad child who's got a strong, forceful nature, he can pull the other kids with him. And there might be a child in there who's got a good, strong nature, and he'll pull some with them as well. But it's a struggle. And the hearts will incline towards one or the other. Or they'll waver between the two. فَإِنْ لَمْ يُوجَدْ الْحَيِّ فَأَخْبَارُ مَنْ يُعْرَفُ بِمَحَلِّهِ. If you don't have a living person, and this is one of his complaints, if you don't have a living person to be in their company, one of these people, then find out about the righteous people in the area that you live in and read their seerah, their history. This is called tabaqat. For instance, if you live in the city of Fez, you read about the ma'uqbira min al-awliya'i wa-sulaha'i fi madinati Fez. There's a book called Sulwat al-Anfas fi man uqbira min al-ulama'i wal-awliya'i wa-salihin fi madinati Fez. The delight of the breast in describing the qualities of the scholars, the awliya, and the righteous people of the city of Fez, who were buried in Fez. It's a 3-volume book. And if you read about them, and then you go visit the places where they are, there's a benefit in that. And that's well known. Mujarrab. That's why Ziyarat al-Salihin is good. Even the graves of the dead people, it's a good thing if they're in your area. So he's saying there's a benefit in that. الثالث استعمال الدواء الدافع لتذكار المهارك والمقاطع. The other is to use a powerful medicine, and by being reminded of the places of destruction and the places that obstruct you in your path. وهي ثلاثة في الجملة تذكر العبد أصره وفصره. That a servant should reflect on his nature, where he comes from, and who is his source and who is his branch. أحدهما غربته في الدنيا حتى من نفسه. One of them is to know that he's a stranger in this world, even from his own self. And the proof is that your self does stuff that you know it shouldn't do. So you're alienated from your own ego. Because you do things that you say, why did I do that? That's your own self that did it. It's not, oh, Bob did that. I'm Jim. No, it's you. Right? Unless you're schizophrenic. Right? But it's you. So that fact that you've got elements in your own self that you feel alienated from is something to think about, to reflect. You're alienated from your own self. Your higher self is alienated from your lower self. And it's between your two sides. And then he said, الثاني مصرعه عند الموت ووحشته في رمسه. Remembering the struggle of the moment of death. There's a sura' with the soul when it leaves the body. To think about that. Sakarat al-maut. The best of creation had إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَسَكَرَاتِ. The best of creation said death has difficulties. So to think about that. And then to think about your alienation in your grave. الثالث موقفه بين يدي جبار السماوات والأرض. And the third is to think that one day you will be standing in the presence of the ruler of the heavens and the earth. The one who all of the heavens and the earth is in his control. وَفَضِيحَتُهُ عَلَى رُؤُوسَ الْخَلْقِ يَوْمِ الْعَرْضِ. And that you are going to be exposed to all of creation on the day that all of your actions are shown. To think about that. Reflect on that. There's 50,000 years. There's 50,000 years. People, everybody's lives, they're all going to... Imam al-Awza'i didn't have the metaphor of a movie. But he said, تُعْرَضُ حَيَةُ الْإِنسَانِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ سَاعَةً سَاعَةً. that a human being's life will be shown to him moment by moment on the Day of Judgment. You're going to have to watch the whole thing. And you're going to have to explain it. And now we have movies to... I mean, these are signs from Allah. Cinema is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. You can watch people who are dead now and see parts of their life on a film. And they're dead. And their film's been recorded by a piece of magnetic tape. And you think Allah can't do that? We can do that? The one who created the heavens and the earth is not capable of making a divine video of your life? And we think we can do that? There's people now, their whole life is on the internet. Literally, their whole life is on the internet. You can open up their www Hayatu Shaitan or something like that. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahu ahluhu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahu ahluhu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahu ahluhu. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.